Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour tonight. First of all, I do want to note that this is February the 12th on the West Coast, or in the Eastern and Central time zones. It's now the early morning hours of February the 13th, 2009. Many thanks go out to all the folks that have been praying for my family and my father. And we trust that my father is in the Lord's hands, and that what happens, happens for that reason and that reason only. So I appreciate everyone's prayers, condolences, thoughts, you name it. You all are loved very much by a lot of people. And I want to thank everyone in the listening audience. Now, got a quick news item here. This is occurring in real time outside of Buffalo, New York. There's a plane that crashed into a house. And don't know the reason for the crash. We don't think it was an attempted landing. Usually planes don't crash into houses. They crash into skyscrapers and bring them down. They crash into military forts and they bring those down, and they crash into empty fields and don't even bend a blade of grass. Disappear completely. This plane is on fire. The house is on fire, and you can see the house and you can see the plane. Neither one have disintegrated. Neither one have evaporated or disappeared into thin air. Just pointing that out. When you make a comparison to this event and 9/11, it's something to consider, because I don't know how else to put it. The story is bogus through and through. Well, that brings us to our guest. He has been on this show a number of times, especially in recent months, and he will continue to be on the Evident Footprints because of the wealth of information that he has on a variety of topics. This gentleman has one of the most popular websites in the world. It's called educate-yourself.org. It is a repository for research information, articles, even some wild letters to the editor, and the responses are equally as wild on occasion. This gentleman is a metaphysician. He is also an author and a journalist and a very excellent investigative researcher, and my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate your kind introduction. I'm sorry, I was just drinking a little bit of coffee, and it went up on the wrong pipe just as I was coming on.
Oh, you weren't supposed to say that. The reason why, I was going to let the listening audience know that I was practicing my ventriloquism. Talking and coughing at the same time while drinking coffee. Well, are you okay?
You talk? I'm okay. I just didn't want to not explain why I was okay. stumbling there for a second.
Try not to get it in your ear. Well, last time you were on the show, we touched on a variety of topics, but we really got into some of the psyops type things that were going on with technology. And I know you have been writing and really doing some research in the area of Dr. Atru Ott's research, and I know you wanted to mention a few things in regard to his findings, his scientific or his technological findings as well. And I know you want to talk about that tonight, so
we have at it. Okay, thanks. Tonight I want to focus on secret technology that was developed by the government over a period of perhaps 30 years or more that had become operational and fully effective by the beginning of the 1990s. And the first opportunity that the government, the Army, used to try this new technology out was when the United States, along with the so-called coalition forces, but which is made up of 95% of the U.S. troops, invaded Iraq in January of 1991, the so-called, you know, first Iraq War, the first Gulf War. And if you're old enough to remember the TV coverage and the news coverage of the time, that our forces, the U.S. forces, never really encountered any serious armed resistance from the Iraqis, who were supposedly well dug in and prepared to fight the U.S. very fiercely. Saddam Hussein said often in the news that it was going to be the mother of all wars, that the opposition was going to be fierce and intense. And nothing at all along those lines happened. If you recall, Iraq had invaded Kuwait, and they were driven back across the Iraqi border. That was the first phase of the attack. But then the U.S. actually entered Iraq, and that's where you would have expected the fighting to take place, but it didn't. There was no opposition at all to speak of. And what we heard on the news is that over a period of approximately 100 days from the time the event started until the bulk of Saddam's, or what we were told is the bulk, it's probably in many cases, many men simply disappeared in order to avoid capture or went into a neighboring country like Syria. But large numbers of Iraqi troops, was called the Republican Guard, which is supposed to be the most well-trained of Saddam Hussein's regular armed troops, surrendered en masse on multiple occasions to U.S. forces. They came out of these underground bunkers waving white flags and falling on their knees in front of U.S. soldiers and kissing their boots and otherwise groveling in front of them. And that's the sort of pictures that we saw on TV coverage. Now, from a military point of view, and that's all we got, that's the only presentation we got, is that for some mysterious reason, these guys simply didn't want to fight, and they just prefer to just give up, since they had no desire to fight. That's the story that was presented to us.
Well, yeah, we got that story basically from the media, and that's, like you said, that's the only story we got. A thought entered my mind, based upon Saddam Hussein's promise that this would be the, quote, mother of all battles, I think is what he said. Yeah. One would think that he was also the one that wrote the promos for some of the last Super Bowls that we've had, too. You know? Anyway.
Well, maybe he did. Who knows? Because he's still as capable of writing a line today as he was back then.
Yes. Well, I'm basing it on the outcome, based on the hype of the Super Bowl. You know,
right.
It was like that battle. <you know?
laughs> Right.
The last one I hear was a good one. I didn't watch it, and I can't even say I watched any of the other ones in the last 10 years. But the general consensus was they were boring. So it sounded like the mother of all battles was a boring one.
Yeah, it was.
To say the least.
And then as the U.S. forces, you know, got deeper into Iraq and they started to take over, you know, the major cities of Basra and Baghdad and all that, there is this report in the news, where are the troops, you know, in the initial part of this deal? Okay, what really happened? For about 3 months or so, the U.S. government was applying a technology that we are going to experience soon with the conversion to high-definition digital TV. And the official name for the technology is the Sound of Silence. Now, it also has acronyms. It has an acronym that is composed of four-letter S's, and so that sometimes it's called Quad S, you know, 4S. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just contract those words and call it Squad, you know, mm-hmm. you know, S combined with 4.
Wasn't Sound of Silence, the Sound of Silence, actually a song by Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah, it was. That's really an important part of the story, and I'll get to the significance of that. Yeah, it was a Simon and Garfunkel hit tune somewhere around the mid-60s, I'm guessing, 66, 67, something like that. And it was a big tune for a long time, but it had to do, the lyrics of the song Sound of Silence actually was telegraphing or cryptically revealing the intentions of this program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the military was able to take over, or let's say override the AM and FM stations, which the Iraqis were forced to rely on because the U.S. government knocked out their high-tech communication equipment, so that they they couldn't use cryptic channels that they, you know, had depended on using, typical military high-tech communication, because our people had already knocked out their transmitters and so forth. So in order to communicate, they were forced to use AM and FM radio. And this is how Iraqi troops out in the field, on the ground bunkers, et cetera, got their information from the government, because the other methods of communication were no longer available to them. And what our government did is that they set up secret transmitters that was using the same frequency bands on FM and AM stations that the Iraqi government was using to communicate with their troops. Therefore, the Iraqi troops were hearing the information, music, messages, communications, etc., that were being transmitted by the Iraqi government, the Iraqi military. They heard what was intended for them to hear. What they didn't hear, however, was the secret technology, this Quad-S technology, that was superimposed on the same carrier wave. So they were really getting two signals, and they could orally only hear one. They could hear only the one that the government, their government, was sending to them. However, the U.S. government was sending them encoded messages that orally are not perceived, but the subconscious mind perceives these messages, not the conscious mind. So their subconscious mind is not only perceiving messages, but they're having emotions which were generated by the U.S. government in a computer database. They're having emotions installed into them to feel anxiety, fear, forlonging to be with their families, intense sadness, worry about their parents, their children, their wives, etc., etc. And they kept up this subliminal attack for about 3 months. And the net outcome was is that the Iraqi troops were so demoralized that by time it came for U.S. forces to actually approach these guys in their underground, they had zero desire to fight.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know it, but they had a number done on them.
Yeah.
So that they were, you know, so that they were also, in the later phases of it, they had some of this equipment aboard helicopters that was directly, beaming this stuff to them, in which they're getting very intense messages in their head, as if from God, that what they're doing is wrong, and that they have to realize that the only way for them to take care of their family and to survive this is to surrender, and there's no point in fighting because the Americans are going to overwhelm you and kill you anyway, and what good are you going to be to your family when you're dead? These sort of messages, as if it was coming from God. So these guys were... Now, not every single Iraqi soldier was affected by this technology.
Mm-hmm.
But the large proportion of them were, perhaps 80%, 85%.
Now, do you recall, Ken, that after this so-called surrender by the Republican Guard forces, which were numbered by the media to be at least 100,000 men?
Oh, at a time. There was large-scale, massive surrenders at each instant.
Well, do you recall after this so-called surrender, and we're talking about Operation Desert Storm. This is the one that Bush Senior or Bush 41 instigated the first time when they were supposedly going into Iraq to rescue Kuwait.
Okay, Schwarzkopf.
Yeah. Do you remember all of the oil wells that were set on fire? Now, if that were the case, that all these guys gave up, then one would have to ask who was setting the oil wells on fire.
Right. Well, I'm going to assume that, Iraqi agents set the oil fires, but I don't know for a fact. I'm just assuming that. Because obviously there was Iraqi technicians manning those wells.
And if you had to surrender, though, the point I'm making, and they were scattered. I mean, there were over 700 oil wells on fire, if I remember correctly. To me, it seemed like an Israeli operation, to tell you the truth.
Well, that part, I don't know. You might be onto something there.
Yeah.
I can't really say.
In other words, they were trying to provoke us into a war, and they did it, and it was, you better get the oil, or we're going to get it, that kind of threat. And they went in there and set those on fire, and that enables the Americans now to say, we have to put these out, we're losing all this oil.
Right.
And then they install their equipment then.
Yeah, you might have to, these, all conflicts now, the current conflict in Afghanistan, Iraq, what we're hearing in the media and what's really happening are, rarely the same thing. There's all kinds of black ops going on, false flags going on. We know very well, particularly in the Iraq invasion, that again and again and again, British troops, in some cases, American troops in other cases, and I'm sure Mossad, was trying to instigate atrocities in order to further fuel, the conflict from, the Shias and the Shiites and, particularly in the case of the British, on a couple occasions they were caught red-handed. They were dressed up as Arabs and they were caught mm-hmm. red-handed trying to instigate false flag operations.
Yeah.
So that we have to assume is de rigueur now in all current conflicts, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Well, yeah, and what comes to mind, too, and I think this is worth mentioning because this is a perfect example. They showed this film nonstop to us. When Saddam, according to the media, Saddam was complaining that they were hitting civilian targets, right? Women and children were being killed. Well, that's what they put out in the media. Do you remember the sign that they had on a stick? And sticking in the sand, and it had some some scrawl in Arabic, and then above it, it said in red letters, Baby Milk Factory. I mean, that's like putting up a sign, shoe store, or, you know.
Right.
Or bicycle shop,
yes.
You know.
Right.
It really looks stupid and silly, and yet they were selling this to the public. Well,
right.
I'm bringing this up because we had countless stories like this going on all over the country, and the issue of the UN inspectors going in there looking for weapons, which they said they didn't find.
Correct.
So you remember that? So.
Oh, very well. Yeah, very well. Yeah, and I can recall that aspect of the phoniness and the deceit and the misdirection.
Yeah, so I'm just bringing these up because in light of what you're describing, this technology here, all these other things couldn't really be happening if that technology was being used. Let's say the way they're describing it, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I just want to point that out for the listening audience. We tend to forget these things. And
yeah, you're right. Well, anyway, so I wanted to use that example because I first found out about this unusual technology was from Al Bielek, a talk that Al Bielek had done. I probably heard it on the radio, probably around 1994, I'm guessing. Al Bielek has done many radio interviews, and he was on the Art Bell show a number of times, and I believe it was the first time I heard it because I just began to become aware of the whole New World Order game around 1994 because I read William Cooper's book and that's opened my eyes wide. So I was fascinated by many things because we had come to California about that year and so. Al Bielek said that this unusual technology, which had been under development for a number of years, was applied to these troops.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this equipment aboard helicopters, and they were able to beam this energy down, and these guys were, left with such a stressful situation in their head, in their mind, etc., that the only thing they wanted to do was to just give up and to get away from this stress that was being generated within them. I didn't know the details other than the broad idea that our government had this technology, but obviously it could be applied on a very wide mass scale.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if this was available to any other country? Had Dr. Ott found that out, or
I don't know. My mm-hmm. guess is that I just don't know because, you know, when we're talking about our country, our military, we're talking about the United States division of the New World Order. So much of the technology, when you get to the upper level of the pyramid, there are no secrets, as it were, from the U.S., China, Russia, Germany, Italy, France, because all these major countries are acting in collusion to bring in the New World Order. So there is no genuine, advantage, as it were. Now, I'm sure some countries, like Russia, because they got to jump on certain technologies, have an advantage, let's say, over a slight advantage, perhaps, over what the U.S. has. And the U.S., undoubtedly, in the areas that they did the leading research, probably don't share everything with Russia, for instance. But it's ludicrous now that we know the game plan of the New World Order to ascribe traditional notions of our nation in its own self-interest, protecting its secrets from other nations.
Always under the pretense of national security.
Right. That, of course, is the word they use over and over again as a way to prevent the truth from reaching the American public, of course. But the pretext that the criminals in charge of our government, at the top of our government, at the top of our military, are working overall on behalf of bringing in the one world, new order, one world government. That's what they're working towards. They're traitors. There's no other way. And the Sarkozy of France or Berlusconi, they're traitors to their own countrymen. But that's what we're dealing with. And when we talk about this conduct, we have to keep that in the back of our mind. We have traitors at the helm of power in this and every other major country in the world.
Now, wouldn't you think they used this technology in the last election? I mean, it seems glaringly apparent that would be the case.
Well, I would think so, since they used it in the first one.
They could use it in commercials. They could use it in public venues.
That's where I'm going, because in fact they have been using it. If you recall, there was something of a scandal in the news, and I'm trying to get the dates, but I'm going to guesstimate it was somewhere in the 70s, in which the public started to become aware of there were deceptive advertising gimmicks going on, mm-hmm. in which certain symbols were being layered in ads, in visual ads, so that on the surface, as you look at it quickly, it's an ad of a guy smoking a Marlboro cigarette or something, mm-hmm. riding down the range at sunset. But in closer inspection, people started to notice that there was symbols that were layered in, encoded within the larger picture that said other things. They were sexual suggestions. There was, and then within the body of words and jingles, we started to also hear that there are what we were told were subliminal messages layered in. Now, if you remember, also in the late 60s, early 70s, I just can't remember the exact dates, but it was around that period, people started to hear stories of, if you played certain records backwards, it seems that there was these like satanic messages encoded in the recording. Certain well-known hard rock groups of the time, perhaps even, or my memory serves me, perhaps even some Beatle recordings, that when they played the record backwards, there's these messages. They were audible.
Well, nowadays, all you have to do is just play something forwards, and you hear those messages.
Right. But the point is that the notion of the use of subliminal messages in visual ads, in what we heard, as a jingle, for instance, or even in music recordings, pop music recordings, we're starting to hear about this notion of subliminal being layered in with it. Well, think along that same line, but we had another 20, 25 years of development to bring us up to the early 90s, in which now we see this subliminal technology being used on hundreds of thousands of battle-hardened Iraqi troops, and it reduced them to the level of a compliant child.
Mm-hmm.
So, so the technology was applied there to large numbers of troops in the field. But you did take, the words out of my mouth that, of course, they've been applying this technology now for quite some time in environments where, for instance, in a department store, and they're playing this pleasant music in the background, that this technology, the Sound of Silence technology, is layered in with the music. You mm-hmm. cannot orally detect it. However, your subconscious mind detects it. Well, and
Can I give you an example of that technology from my personal experience? Now, this is somewhat later than what you're talking about, but around 1986, 1987, there was a series of infomercials, and you were in California. You would have seen this on TV there on a regular basis if you caught any of the mainstream late at night. They were showing a commercial by a gentleman named Joe Land. No one ever heard of this guy before, but he was the expert on subliminal tapes. And these were to motivate people to become fearless, to become great producers in their field. Let's say if they were in sales, all you had to do was play these tapes. And they had a tape on communication and positive thinking and on and on, the different aspects. And I think there was a set of 12. I actually got a set of these tapes. I was interested in hearing how they constructed the tapes. And they were created by a company out of Michigan called Midwest Research. And Land reveals this in the infomercial, that they discovered that you could take a message and repeat it billions of times a minute. The human brain can actually capture, on a subconscious level, 18 billion different commands per minute.
Wow.
Okay? And they embedded the sounds within ocean waves. And occasionally you'll hear a seagull. Or if it's waves on a lake, then it would be just a gull. But nonetheless, you have this image of ocean waves. That's really all you're hearing, the waves rolling in stereo. And then an occasional seagull, and it's like it's a loop. The seagull always lets out the same cry every time you hear it. And if you're listening to these tapes with headphones, of course, it increases the impact of the sound because it blocks out any interference from other sound sources that might be occurring. Now, what I found really interesting about the tapes themselves is that I knew if there were messages in there that I could hear them on some level. Mind you, that many messages, it would be gibberish to your mind or to your ears to figure out what was being said. But I found that if I focused on the sound and the frequency of the waves and then imagined that the waves weren't there, I could hear the sounds. And I'll tell you, there were lots of voices going on. They had literally multi-tracked these commands, and someone listening to the same sound content likely wouldn't hear what I heard because I trained myself to block out the sound of the waves and the seagulls.
Okay.
And so we know that that technology was available, let's say, in the mid to late 80s prior, and it could very well be part of the technology you're describing.
I have a hunch you're right, because in reading John Ronson's book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, which came out about 2005, 2006, he talks about the early development of how the Army particularly picked up this idea to run with these really far out, or let's say unusual technologies. And he points out that for a certain amount of time, when the technology was first available, there was no, the Army, when it first came out, was not completely focused on it. They were just learning about it, because there was a excuse me, a guy named Jim Shannon, who was with the Army. He was interested in essentially looking at everything available to try to, let's say, increase the edge of American Army combat troops to have advantage over other armed forces and for other countries. And he spent 2 years traveling around, particularly in California. He spent most of his time in California, but he told the Army he wanted to see what he can discover. So he researched just about every New Age area that's conceivable. And as they were beginning to find out about this stuff, like the subliminal messaging that you're talking about, it wasn't yet classified. Soon, however, though, it did become classified, and that's why you don't hear anything on TV anymore, the Joe Lands, you know, talking about, because all that technology was stamped classified by the government, because they wanted to use it, they wanted to develop, and they didn't want us, the American people, or anyone else, to really know about it, because they plan all along to use it on us. And we need to recognize that this subliminal messaging can be encoded in anything that comes to our ears via sound. Therefore, it's possible to encode records, but because the technology is more advanced, you can encode a CD or a DVD with this stuff. You can use, if you have the right encoding, they can get it through a tape recorder. They can get the messages through a radio, through a television, etc. And it is quite advanced now, because there have been commercial applications of this technology. I mentioned department stores, not all of them, but some of them are very happy with this technology, because what one guy admitted in the book, in the Ronson book, was that, yeah, we really like it. We're very happy with it. We've cut down our, you know, our pilfering, a shoplifting by, you know, 300% since, you know, using this silent sound technology. Now, if they can influence people subliminally not to shoplift, for instance, what else are they encoding in there that the customers don't know about? And this could be currently being used in shopping malls. When one thinks that this technology is unknown to the public, that there's no signs up anywhere saying that, you know, you're being influenced subliminally to buy our products or to spend more money, or are they being used in casinos, for instance, in Las Vegas, to encourage people to gamble more? We sort of know, Truat, in one of his radio interviews with Dr. Rebecca Carley, had mentioned that he was witness to special equipment that was installed in Salt Lake City in one of the big Mormon churches. He mentioned the name, I just can't remember it off the, but he knew full well that the equipment was being installed to subliminally influence the congregation to tithe more money, to, you know, obey whatever they're being told, to cooperate with, obey, etc. So here we have a technology that's been perfected easily 15 to 20 years ago, that is probably being used in many areas of our lives that we're simply unaware of. And I became, now I didn't know the depths of the story until I got it from Truat. He wrote a wonderful article that I posted in around December 17th of 2008 called The Sound of Silence. I became suspicious about 1 year ago when they first started to promote this idea that they're going to have this conversion to all digital TV in February of 2009. It didn't make sense to me because, first, the why? Why would they force that? Normally, when a new technology comes along, there's a gradual petering out of the old technology and a gradual, you know, acquisition of the new technology, and eventually we go from vinyl, you know, LPs to, you know, cassettes to CDs. You know, that's the way it normally works. But this was strange. The government's mandating a mandatory conversion over to digital TV. So that didn't make sense to me, and it didn't make sense they were putting so much money in advertising it. They had to, you know, get this huge media machine up and running to advertise this event and talk about it in articles. And anytime there's this huge push of propaganda like that, the government's behind it. You got to ask yourself, why? There's nothing that the government does, because the government is in the hands of criminals and traitors.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that the government does that's truly of benefit to the populace. They're trying to subdue, corral, enslave, murder the public. That's what the government is up to, at least the, you know, the criminals who are at the, you know, have the hands and the wheels of power. So I automatically become suspicious. And then when I see that they're offering these coupons, $40 coupons to get this conversion box, I just did some fast math off the top of my head. I told myself, well, there's 300 and some odd million Americans, so, you know, most people have more than one TV in their home or have multiple homes. I just guesstimated, well, let's say they subsidize as much as 200 million people to get a conversion box that works up to $8 billion at $40 a pop. And it doesn't make sense to me. Why is the government spending all this money? Just so we can see a crystal clear, high definition TV? Nah. That's absurd. So why are they doing it? So my suspicions ran to surveillance. I mm-hmm. presume that they have cameras and pickup devices so that they can, you know, surveil you more carefully in your home. That was the only thing that logic could tell me at the time. But when Truot sent me this article, then this opened up a whole new vista to me that I hadn't made the connection between what I heard Al Bielek talking about in the 1991 Iraq invasion and this high-definition conversion scheme. However, his article explains it very well, that this technology, Quad S, has long been planned. Mm-hmm. Ergo, that's how we get to the song by Simon and Garfunkel, The Sound of mm-hmm. Silence. Now, the Illuminati, these manipulators, in almost every case, seem to telegraph their intentions, either with movies, with articles, with photographs, with talks, with lectures, etc., etc. And many people who are aware of the game ask themselves why. Now, this is not a definitive answer because I'm not sure why, but what has been said in what makes sense to me, or at least it's a strong possibility, is that somehow there's some sort of metaphysical game going on here, in which if they're going to put these dark deeds upon you, essentially they have to tell you about it. But so that it's almost one of these deals, well, you weren't smart enough to pick up on it, or you had the opportunity, but you didn't do anything, so therefore it's okay to do whatever we're going to do to you, because we gave, you know, caveat emptor and all that type of stuff. Now, that may be the reason. I'm not really sure. Maybe mm-hmm. you might have a better perspective on it.
Well, can I comment in reference to what I brought up at the top of the hour?
Yeah.
Because as we speak, there's a psyops going on at CNN right now.
Okay,
and I'm going to expose it. I turned the television on because I got notice from someone that there was this plane crash that I referred to. And CNN is showing blue sky with a silver wing up in the air. you get this shot of this plane that has crashed into this house, and it's like a sideways crash. So one of the wings is up in the air.
Yeah.
And you don't see any fire in the shot. You don't see any smoke. The sky is blue, like daylight, and the wing is silver. But now, then they instantly change to orange red flames, yellow flames. It really looks horrific, right? You're seeing this fire in real time. Now, they put the name of a guy on the screen, Brendan Biddlecom. It doesn't say .com, it says Biddlecom. There's a whole bunch of stuff of this guy on the web, inside this political... He's a witness, by the way. They have him on the line because he's a witness. Inside this issue, political polls, energy conservation by ECS. He is the ECS senior program manager. It's an 800 number. Foster's Wine Estates enrolls in cutback, California, Reuters. Please contact Brendan Biddlecom. I'm just reading the Google links here, okay? Over and over and over, this guy has sold houses. I mean, people can do that. Of course, they do all those things. But isn't that interesting how they get this guy to be the witness to this plane crash?
Yes.
Okay? There's a PSYOPs thing. I've seen video anomalies already on the television. You can't produce a blue sky and a silver wing at night with orange and red flames enveloping the whole scene. Okay? We're seeing a PSYOP in real time. It's as though it's an experiment on just creating this story. There's supposed to be 48 or 49 passengers that have died on this plane. The plane doesn't look big enough to carry that many people, to tell you the truth, from what we've seen of the shots. Mm-hmm. You would think that that's actually how many people they had on the planes during 9/11. No way we're looking at a 767 or any similar plane. Right. Now, I'm not listening to what they're saying. I'm not even looking at the screen right now. Mm-hmm. These were flashes that they had up there. But this is the manner in which they brainwash us or propagandize us. They show us what they have already predetermined they're going to show us. We hear what they have predetermined we're going to hear. Or, in this case, not hear, because we're talking about subliminal messages, which are not available to the conscious mind, unless you can mask out what it is that is the most predominant feature. Like I use the example of the ocean waves and the occasional screech of a... They're showing the blue sky with a puffy white cloud and a silver airplane wing. This is supposed to be... And then now it's black sky and the wing is yellow.
Wow.
I'm actually looking at a reflection in my studio window. It's amazing what we're seeing here. We're actually, and most people don't connect with this. It's as though the plane crash occurred sometime this morning, and now they're just showing the film of it burning up. But it's showing breaking news. It's just happening right now. And they've got a British broadcaster actually delivering the story.
Oh, I see.
PSYOPs. PSYOPs, okay? Now, I'm not saying they're subliminal messages, but there is an example of the kind of thing that we're talking about in real time during a live radio show.
All right. Just as a very quick aside, I'll get back to my story, though, since you brought it up. The use of a British person as an interviewer telling a story, you notice how this has... shown up a great deal in American television and radio in the last decade, let's say.
Indian or Pakistani.
Yeah, but very much British. I noticed that it seems to me, and this is just a guess on my part, but it seems to me that they must have concluded that with, you know, they do so much beta test to find out what the average person will respond to. I just have to guess that they've learned through these testing procedures that the general public will tend to accept or believe a person's narrative if that person has a British accent. It seems to me so logical, because they're just using people with British accents too much, too often, on what's supposed to be American television, supposed to be American radio. I've never heard so many British accented people delivering the news, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm very suspicious about that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, one more interruption here, and I apologize. Brendan Biddlecom is also an editorial assistant for Oberlin College's alumni magazine.
Well, that's interesting.
Okay, so this guy has media contacts. I mentioned the company Energy Conservation Consultants, or what was that? Something along that line. So this guy is out there. It's Energy Curtailment Specialist. That's what it is, Inc.
Right.
Okay. So this is a stooge.
Yes.
Basically, that's what we're looking at here. They put the person they want to deliver the story in front of the camera.
Yes.
To get us to buy, or you know, to sell the whole presentation as a production.
Yes. Yes.
That's been carefully thought out, and that's what you're about to go back into, is how this is all planned. This is not an accident.
No. And just to quickly review how this has been applied in the past. We talked about the Iraq invasion of 1991. In 1993, April of 93 was when the government beat BATF and FBI, et cetera, raided the David Koresh group in Waco, Texas. And the FBI called a man in Russia who had already been doing work with subliminal messaging, subliminal messages for mostly Russian drug addicts. The addict wants to get off the drug, but he can't. And in order to help him, this researcher, his name is Igor Smirnov, had developed a way of encoding messages within white noise, so that the client put on headphones and all he was hearing was, you know, the shh sound that we typically hear with, but subliminally embedded there were messages like, you want to be here to take care of your child. You don't want to ruin your life and take your rent money and take the food out of your child's mouth by, you know, spending it on heroin or cocaine. So there were kind of these messages to the person's inner soul to walk the straight and narrow and, you know, free yourself of this addiction, kind of, you know, those type of messages, no ill intent, just to try to help the person recover, to get back to lead a normal life. And he was quite successful. The FBI called him up, they were aware of this work, and asked him would he come to America. They wanted, so anyway, they got him down to Waco, and they told him, can you, the FBI is talking to David Koresh on the phone every day, if you remember, and they wanted to ask this guy, can you embed subliminal messages within these phone conversations so that this guy thinks he's hearing from God? Now, mind you, the FBI had already hired the man who was going to play the voice of God. They already had Charlton Heston lined up for this job. So they told this man, however, though, that in the event, though, if this goes haywire and Koresh, because he thinks he's hearing from God, everyone commits suicide, would he sign this form here to take responsibility for it? And he says, are you crazy? And so, you know, the guy just, forget it, I'm out of here, he just left. But it showed that he said yes before they confronted him with that ridiculous idea. Here, take, you know, you sign off, take responsibility for all this. Before they present him with that stupidity, he said, yes, I can, you know, we can do it. So the general public has to become aware of this, that there probably already have been self-improvement tapes, for instance, in which, as you said, you're putting on headphones, you're hearing, you know, a tropical rainforest, you're hearing the gentle sounds of lapping waves on the beach, you know, and all that. That's the cover story, relaxation, but they're probably embedding these subliminal messages in the tape as well. And what you don't know is that how many of these CDs, et cetera, have negative subliminal messaging encoded.
Oh, you can see that in, I think we may have talked about this on another show, the Disney movies.
The Disney movies, very
The Lion King has sexual innuendos about
over the place. Right.
Yes, yes.
You're absolutely right. So what they're, Disney is, you know, the Disney family, unfortunately, has been co-opted by the Illuminati almost from the beginning, and that they, you know, Disneyland is a place where children are programmed with mind control. Bryce Taylor reports that at depth in her book, Thanks for the Memories.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Disney animation and films and so forth have been employing for decades now the older subliminal technology. For instance, they use this on television too with commercials, I'm sure. Normally when we're looking at a television screen, for instance, the picture is flashed on the screen. Well, actually the electron gun is painting a couple fields from top to bottom, but it's happening so many times per second. So our eye collectively, we don't see a flickering screen. If the repetition rate is fast enough, you see what it looks to you to be a continuous series of images. However, you're actually being presented, though, you know, a flickering image, but it's happening so fast you don't see the flicker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if one of those flickers, let's say, and I forget. No. But there's so many frames per second.
Yeah, I'm losing your audio a little bit. I heard so many frames per second, but I didn't hear the sentence before that. So
okay, well, I probably says I'm not sure if I remember the frame rate. So it probably wasn't that significant.
It was a subliminal message you were putting out there, Ken.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Well, this is what I'm getting to.
Mm-hmm.
If one of those frames, let me just guesstimate. Let's say there's. I used to know how many frames per second.
It depends on the video, but a lot of movies or certain TV shows are using 30 frames per second, non-drop.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say it's even 60 frames per second, which would be fairly fast. If even one of those frames, Don, had a completely different image in it, let's say, I don't know, a satanic pentagram or Baphomet or some, you know, or children having sex with goats or something. I don't know. Something really bizarre that these people wanted.
How about a genuine, real, live, untouched photo of Barack Obama?
Well, then that would be a shocking thing to see. That would be a shock. Well, okay, what I'm leading up to is that the conscious mind cannot detect it. However, the subconscious mind can. That's
mm-hmm. That's
the important point that every human being has to understand. The subconscious mind records every sound, every image that we're exposed to, no matter how fast the image repetition rate is. As you pointed out, so many billions of whatever, you know, what you said there per second. I mean, it's mind-boggling to understand the capacity of the subconscious mind to absorb information. And
it takes it literally. That's the whole point of addressing.
Yes, it takes it literally.
Yeah.
Right. And we need to remember that our innermost drives, our fears, our trepidations, our desires, our lust, our the things that drive us ultimately spring from, not from the conscious mind, but from the subconscious mind. So people who are unaware, this is the key point, and the reason I want to talk, you know, express this show, is that if you're aware of this technology to subliminally manipulate you, that in itself acts as a stop valve, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Merely being aware of it sends a message to the subconscious mind that, hey, be careful. Don't accept everything that's coming in here. Throw up some guards. Throw up some shields. Throw up some filters.
Yeah. Hey, Ken, we have a call. We have a caller, actually, on the show. Would you like to take a call?
Okay.
I mean, you can say no. If you don't want to take it, I'll take it.
I didn't want to run over. I just was concerned about finishing within
our time. Well, we're about at the show's end, but we'll bring Ron from Pennsylvania on board. Ron, hi, how you doing?
How you doing, Diamond? Your guest. Hey, real quick in view of the time span here, which is short. I haven't even looked at the TV for a while, but I used to live just a couple of miles away from the runway up to Buffalo International Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about a plane wreck, but it doesn't surprise me that one didn't plop down on his houses a long time ago, because they have a main highway there that is actually so close to the end of the takeoff lane, you have to cup your hands over your ears and drive with your elbows, and that's not a joke. And they must have housing for the deaf up there, because the rumbling is terrible, and you can actually hit those planes with a Whammo slingshot and a ball bearing.
Yeah, they've had that issue at a lot of the major airports in different parts of the country. I know the Burbank Airport was a big problem in California. The Cleveland Airport went through all kinds of problems where they had to negotiate the purchase of the houses because they were expanding the runways, and people couldn't handle the noise. But I brought that issue up because the guy that they have as the witness is a professional.
Yeah,
even in video.
that 3.5 years was a learning experience. I learned never to live up there in that area again. But anyway, I have some record albums. There's like 3 or 4 of them. It's several hours of music. And the dynamics of sound and the qualities is a very fascinating subject to which I know almost nothing about. But the music I have, and your guests would probably know this, if you remember the old Steve Reeves Hercules movies back in the 60s or 70s.
The ones that were, the mouth was moving, but there was no sound coming out, and then when the mouth stopped.
It would have to do with the background noise. This record, this music is psychologically geared for relaxation. It was made by some company that specialized in this stuff, and I don't have the records in front of me. But the mood, the music, and the type of sound puts you in mind of a nice flowing creek and vegetation and so forth. And if you're laying in a chair without any external noise, it could put you right out to sleep. It is geared for that. It's amazing what can be done with sounds, even 30 years ago, to accomplish what somebody wants to accomplish. Now, I have a digital conversion box, and the only reason I did that is to... I have no cable, but I'm going to try to capture some signals from the outside with an antenna, and I have a rototenna buried in the snow outside here. I'm just going to see an experiment, because I'm working on regaining my ham license again. But I will make it a point not to turn on the TV very much if this digital signal is what you say it is.
Well, you know, there have been stories out there that even the analog TVs, through a hidden camera in the remote control section of the panel on the TV set itself, can film what's going on in the room and with the microphone that's planted. Now, there have been some TV technicians maybe hired to print articles on blog sites where I repair these every day and I don't see these things at all. And we know that you can insert a camera into any kind of device if you know what you're doing, and it can't be detected. They put them on.
I've worked with laser optic technology in the past, only on a very, very minor level. What is out there is so fascinating, you would not believe it.
Yeah. Well, the live show they're showing again has a blue sky with a white puffy cloud and a silver wing. Now the sky is black and the wing is yellow.
I know the weather is weird up there, and so are a lot of other things. That's why I got out of there.
Yeah, and, but I'm saying the video we're seeing is supposed to be live now. It's nighttime, okay?
Yeah, it's nighttime right now here on the East Coast, you know.
Yeah.
But the blue sky doesn't make sense.
No, not at all. But you see, this looks like a psyops. This is what I'm saying here. And I happen to bring the story up because it's of interest. We've been having a lot of plane crashes in New York. We had one in the Hudson River just a week or maybe within the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And already people are putting on blog sites that this pilot is their hero. Happens to have a Jewish last name.
Oh.
That's a coincidence maybe. But this is all PSYOP stuff. This is what Ken is talking about, and I brought this issue up because it is part of the same thing. You see, they don't just do this with sounds, they do it with images, and they do it in very subtle ways. There's no way to light up the whole sky
and
make
no
the whole picture look like a daytime picture, and then at the flip of a switch, now you're looking at night.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way to do that.
Not up there anyway. I've never seen anything like that at all. There's no way you could light the sky up like that.
Well, nowhere. Really nowhere.
Yeah,
I mean, you can see...
There's nothing up there that would lend itself to that at all.
Yeah, you can't... we're talking about a natural blue sky like you would see at noon, okay?
Well, that would happen in the daytime, and I know for a fact that sometime in the winter we get bad weather down here. Up there it is beautifully clear, but you don't go from clear sky to black night in a split second. It doesn't happen.
No, not at all. And it appears that what would cause a wing to turn yellow? They're flipping a filter on it right away. And
that at all.
Yeah. Ken, do you want to comment on anything Ron's saying or what we're talking about here?
Well, the fact that he did allude to these recordings that he had, you know, for relaxation, etc. This stuff has been played around with, and I think, you know, at least in the commercial sector for those self-improvement type recordings or etc., they were probably after, you know, a beneficial end, and they were probably encoding information that did help you relax, fall asleep, etc. But what we're talking about here is the switch over to digital TV people need to be concerned about this. This is not a minor matter. We're talking about probably the most, what shall we say, the most direct incursion into your mind that we've had to date. They're going to be using these Gwen Tower systems to install this technology. The GWEN stands for Ground Wave Something Network, perhaps Energy Network. This is very low-frequency stuff. You can't, if you're below ground level, I suppose, you can bypass it, but this stuff goes through buildings. It's... These are powerful technologies. We're talking about mass mind control here.
Yeah, those are standing waves. So
I don't want the government being deciding what my emotions are going to be or what my feelings are going to be about various topics and various people.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a criminal act of the highest order, and the populace has to understand what's about to take place here.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been taking place in many avenues and sort of recordings we're talking about. But now we're going to have a 24/7 bombardment of this technology. This is very scary.
And they're going to spend $8 billion to do that, to give everybody this $40 box who doesn't have digital TV. Ron, are you experiencing anything unusual in your digital television viewing? Any strange feelings?
I don't even think I watch 10 minutes a day of it just to check out the where the darts have landed on a weather prediction board, and then I just shut it off. I don't even watch the thing to any extent. I've taken the cable out for monetary and for other reasons, too. But back 30, 35 years ago, when the vinyl records were out, the tapes that I, or the records that I have, as I just so described, they were made, I think, for relaxation and therapeutic purposes. But as the technology became much more advanced, I'm afraid the stuff now is being used for malevolent purposes.
Well, it may have been then, too, you know. If you remember in the old days, I mean, back when we were all kids, probably the three of us, or two of us anyway, I'll speak for Ken and myself, there were these uproars about the subliminal messages seen on theater screens, buy popcorn, drink Coke,
right.
They said, yeah, we're going to get rid of those, we're going to get rid of those. Well, they found another way to mask those things, you see.
They just refined the art. That's all they did. They didn't get rid of anything.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
They just refined it so that you don't know that it's there, but it was too obvious before, so they had to work on it to bring it in a presentable form so it would be more effective, and I think they've done a pretty good job of it. That's another reason I don't even bother with the television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they use opportunities like when there's nudity or there's some picture, when they're hiding someone's identity, when this technology first came out, they would use a video compressor and take a shot, like a chroma key shot, and superimpose it over the image of the person you were looking at. And so it sort of hid their appearance. You couldn't tell really what color their hair was, or you couldn't see their eyes. Yet, if you squint your eyes, almost close them, you can see on that technology. Now they've ramped it up and they've made it less noticeable as far as pixelation is concerned, where you get these little square boxes.
Yeah.
And they can embed any kind of message in that video that they want to. And imagine that might be going on while you're watching these regular TV programs, which is why so many people get addicted to the shows.
Yeah.
It's not that they're interesting in and of themselves. How many betrayals do you have to have within your family to know somebody's no good? You know.
Well, are there 200, 300 different television channels available, none of them worth watching, in different languages? Why do they have that many available here to us? Why?
My guess would be, and Ken might want to comment, but my guess would be there's all the different types of personality types, and each one can measure the success in another way, in another fashion,
as to all possible
does a sports program of a certain type affect a person differently from watching a yoga class where the same techniques are being used, but applied, you know, in the context of what you're watching. So they can experiment as to which system is going to be the most efficient, in other words. Ken, you want to say something about that?
Well, I just like to mention before the show is over that for now, it seems to me the wisest course is not to get the conversion box, not to buy a plasma screen or a high definition TV. If you bring the technology into your home, you're susceptible to this manipulation. Now, so that's my personal recommendation for now, until a better idea is established, is to avoid it. Now, if enough people let it be known to, for instance, cable TV subscribers, or let it be known to the government or their representative or even advertisers, that's quite important, actually, that I'm not going there. I'm not getting this conversion box. I'm not getting it. A high definition TV. If you own broadcast TV to me that I can pick up with my rabbit ears, the old analog, then too bad. I just won't have TV.
Mm-hmm.
If enough people say that, they won't insist on this conversion. It'll stop.
Yeah, satellite TV is actually the whole issue here. And the reason I say that is because cable, unbeknownst to most people that have cable TV, comes from the satellite signal.
Yes, right. Yes.
And you actually have cable commercials. They've not been showing them like that recently. But a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and even beyond, they were slamming the satellite companies because cable was better, yet they didn't tell the people that they get their signal from satellite.
Right. Yes. Right.
I know the cable companies here are really clamoring for sales because I know a lot of people have either had cable removed or they went back just a few channels for monetary reasons, but mostly they're disgusted with the program quality. And yeah. In fact, I had a guy here the other day. I fired a blistering report off to him, and he just left. So I told him what I thought of the cable television and the type of quality of programming. My televisions are really old, and I also canceled the cable TV after my father passed away almost 2 years ago. And I wasn't paying that kind of money for absolute garbage on there. Now, with that, there's a lot of people that just don't have it anymore, and these people are hurting for sales. So they're sending solicitors around to try to get you to sign up again.
Yeah.
So I also wrote a letter to the cable company in Pittsburgh, and I was not very kind with them. And of course, I never got a reply. But I'm finding a lot of people now are starting to wake up to things, and they're just getting disgusted with it.
Yeah, because the economy is going downhill, the first thing that you're going to start cutting back, particularly if your job's in jeopardy or your hours are being cut back, you're going to start cutting back on cable TV subscriptions.
Anything frivolous, really. And that's one of them, probably the most frivolous.
It seems to me that if enough people become aware of the issue that we're talking about here, that and they specifically told cable companies, you know, I'm canceling my subscription because as a protest, I'm registering a protest. I don't want to accept this high digital, high definition TV stuff. And they'll say to you, well, you've been getting it anyway because, you know, digital cables are fiber optic and all that. And say, yeah, I know. I don't want this technology. I want the analog technology to continue to be, you know, available to me in broadcast, et cetera. If enough people do that, they've already moved up the conversion date to June 12th, as you know, Don. You're the first one who tipped me off to that a few weeks ago. But if enough people flat out say, I'm not going there, they're going to lose so much viewers, so many viewers, I should say. They're going to lose so much sales because, you know.
Yeah. One more thing, and then I'll close, gentlemen. I mentioned about a ham license earlier. Well, I'm noticing in a publication I get every month that the new handheld receivers are available in either switch on and off, digital or analog. They're not going all straight digital. There are companies that are doing that, knowing that guys aren't going to go for the digital transmissions. Now, I don't know why they can't do that with the television signal, but the digital tubes, the main tubes, there's two of them up at our studio at $32,000 a tube. So I don't know what they're going to do with the old analog stuff.
Well, you know what's interesting is they're presenting this like this can only be delivered in a digital format in high definition to be of any value to us. These guys standing or crouching, kneeling, lying down in foxholes in the middle of the Sahara Desert or you know the desert in Iraq the battle that we described earlier in the show didn't have digital TVs there. They didn't even have analog TVs. But these were signals being directed to them in an analog source. The human body senses and operates as an analog machine. I use that word maybe sparingly in that sense. But we hear in logarithmic curves. We don't hear in the linear fashion that digital electronics deals with. So you don't have to have a TV to put this kind of technology out there. That's the whole point Ken was making earlier. But if you have it, they can do things visually as well, and that's why I brought up this issue. By the way, I put two and two together. This guy actually hails from my hometown originally. The guy that's the witness of this plane crash, and there's a synchronicity in that both towns have the same cable company, even though they're in different states.
Well, gentlemen,
he was recently bought out by Time Warner Cable, which is part of the Time Warner AOL family.
Okay.
Something to really pay attention to, because we have a psyops going on here. The guy, this guy is even in film. Okay, he's not just a witness. He's a plant, like the No Day brothers were on 9/11.
Yes.
Okay. This is forensic research live on radio. We're actually researching TV on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I'll conclude, and I'll listen to you on the air. Good night.
Yes, Ron, nice to hear from you, and thanks for the package you sent me. It's on the way, and I haven't looked at it yet, but I got word of it, so thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Take care.
Yeah, see, Ken, we're talking about being discerning with all of this stuff, and it's going on right before our very eyes while we're talking about it.
Yes, that is amazing that plane crash should occur while we're doing this show, and you were able to pick up on it so quickly. Okay, so just to wrap up a bit, my advice to people is, do not get the cable conversion boxes. Do not buy, the newer plasma screen, flat screen TVs, etc., because beyond this problem, but the larger problem is definitely the mind control stuff. That is the biggest concern. But secondarily, there's no question in my mind that these newer screens, even computer monitors, have both cameras and, pickup devices there, and that the NSA can both see you and hear you in your home if you have those newer type of TV. So if you have an older TV, keep it, and avoid getting high definition. If they turn off those transmitters on June 12th, big deal. As you've said to me, Don, and I've said many times in comments to articles that I've posted on my website, the vast majority of television is pure garbage. It's pure rubbish. There's nothing. I'm starving. As I mentioned, there was a guy who sent me a letter to the editor that I published a week or so ago. He, like me, is starving to find some satisfying comedy, for instance, on television.
Well, you got to watch the local TV evangelists in high definition. That's another good comedy.
That's another form of entertainment. Right. But I'm truly having such a hard time. I like serious shows. I like, for instance, science. I like history, ancient history particularly, but any sort of historical drama I find fascinating and very satisfying. And if I'm going to hear music, I like to hear, a performer or a group that's really polished and real high-level artists. But most of what I hear on television and see, even for comedy, can be such a relief to the human spirit. It can really rejuvenate you. And in the earlier periods of American television, particularly in the 50s, but also into the 60s, the caliber of television shows, whether it was westerns, whether it was comedies, Jackie Gleason, for instance, or whether it was a family type shows, were generally wholesome, and in many cases they were kind of bland and boring, but not always. I can remember, particularly in the 50s, there was weekly shows that were very much had a good moral message to them. There was a, you know, typically conflict development, but there's always a resolution usually at the end of the show with a moral tag to it. This is good for people. This is good for society, and it tends to help the society spiritually advance in a positive direction. But as the dark side, the Illuminati, started to consolidate their grip on entertainment, both in Hollywood and in television, the caliber of the shows became more trite, more mindless, and now, of course, in the last decade or two, you have an explosion of violence, no morality. I mean, it's anything goes. They're actively promoting homosexuality now in numerous venues and television, and, you know, and they even got this commercial running on radio that they want to stop young people from saying "that's so gay" because that's hate speech, don't you know it? And it's mind-boggling how far immorality now is being protected.
Well, they're changing the meaning of the word. I thought the word "gay" meant happy.
That's what it did used to be, because there was a famous movie in the 30s called The Gay Divorcee. They certainly didn't mean the homosexual divorcee. They meant a happy.
Yeah, or gay Paris.
Yeah, right? Gay Paris, right, exactly, right. So, Truat actually has...
Or the Enola Gay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we can stop there.
Okay, I just want to say that there is some now technology that Truat has developed that he feels it can counter the effects of these broadcasts. So I'm going to be putting up another follow-up article from him called The Sound of Silence 2, in which he talks about his technology. It seems that orgone generators and orgone tools, as we call them, also seem to mitigate and have an effect on these energies, so that we hear from people who are mind-controlled or, let's say, psychotronically harassed, tortured, etc., that when they get the orgone tools, many of them notice a definite improvement. Not all, but many do. And some of them are, it's almost miraculous how greatly the interference has been reduced so that they can cope with it. It's not so overriding. So this is a new field. We need to explore how to counter this stuff, but hopefully we can expose it. And number two, Stop it. Go after particularly the military is the one who developed this, and people who are responsible for this. We've got to stop these madmen.
Oh, and you know what? I just popped out when we were throwing out these names with the word "gay" affixed to it.
Okay.
The word "Enola" backwards is "alone."
Oh, yes. You're so good at that, Don. I heard you do word reversals before very quickly. Yes, very good.
So that's that subliminal message in a word just sitting there on an airplane.
Yes.
As a name of the airplane, actually representing something totally different. But yes. You see, the subconscious mind picks that up.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when you can go... I think it's a sign, personally, in my own case, that I am able to go outside the box and look at it for how it's really being used.
Yes, yeah, I've noticed that about you on many occasions. You're very quick. You pick up very quickly. It may dawn on me a month or two later in some fashion, but
even after I tell you,
yeah, even after you tell me. So, but you tend to just zero in on it right away. So that's
all right. So in April I'll ask you, okay, Ken, what is the meaning of Enola Gay?
I'll say, oh, that means alone. Yeah. I don't forget those things.
Yeah, but this is just another way to underscore what we're talking about here is these things are right in front of your face, are our faces, and in our eyes and ears, and we're not noticing that this is going on.
Yes, right.
And we've all experienced it. It's an issue of becoming aware of it.
Right.
And then avoiding the thing that's actually making use of that. In the case of the TV set, if it's on one channel, you got to presume that there's a different message on every other channel.
Yep.
But something intended to cause a similar effect.
Yes.
Mind control and brainwashing.
Right. I was very surprised when you told me a couple of weeks ago that the date had been moved up. I had written in a few places when talking about the subject that if enough people don't cooperate, they'll roll back this plan. They always come out, the government always comes out of the box with these fiats as if you have no choice, this is what we're going to do, you're going to obey us, you're just going to do this, blah, blah, blah. That's how they always come out of the box.
You got to stay outside the box. Maybe they've come up with a new technology that they're going to add to it, and it's going to take them that long to put it in those boxes.
That could be.
You see?
I'm going to find it truly fascinating if enough people register the fact that they're not going to get this high-definition conversion boxes. And just flat out present them with the notion that they're going to lose about a third, 40% of TV viewers. You think they're going to go forward with it? No, they will not. They will back off until they can be sure they'll get a majority of viewers to play their game with them. And that would be very nice to see the whole thing back off. If there's a second postponement after June, you know, another 2 or 3 months, that's telling me it's working. People are catching on, and they're absolutely, they don't want to lose that many viewers. No way.
Yes.
Advertisers won't, you know, I found, you know, come to find out and listening to the news reports, the Republicans in Congress were the ones who were pushing to, you know, mandate this technology more so than the Democrats. Now, we know there's really no difference between Republican and Democrats any longer. However, though, in minor areas, so this tells me this is the, you know, this is the residue of the Bush neocon group who want to install this mind control technology. And you've got some Democrats who, you know, aren't quite going along with it. But if the country didn't go along with it, if the bulk of, or a large portion, I should say, of the public says, you know, A, becomes aware of it, and B, says, you know, we're not going there. We don't need your stinking TV. They'll back down. You can be sure of it. They'll back down.
You know, taking this a step further, you just used the word Democrats. Maybe it stands for Dem Orange County Rats.
Oh yeah, Dem Rats. Oh yeah, I got you.
It's all on how you look at it, Ken. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. No, we don't really mean that. We just made a joke of the word. Because there are some Democrats listening to this show.
Yeah.
But it is funny, now that I think of it. Yeah, once you go to that level, it's hard to turn it off, too, you know? I mean, you keep seeing this everywhere.
Yep.
I automatically look at a word and forwards and backwards. Just to see if there's something,
if there's some
kind of message there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I might have mentioned to you in our last talk, but there is, you know, plans afoot to promote digital radio, and while there is no talk yet of any mandatory radio conversion, if they are successful and if they can sell the digital radio idea, then you can bet that the day will come in which they'll say that, well, we're going to have the switch over to digital by this date, so get ready. And they'll just repeat the same crap they're doing. So people need to be aware of that.
Well, we beat them here on BBS. We're digital.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see.
But we're not putting those subliminal messages out there.
Right, I hear you.
That's the difference. But, yeah, well, this is totally digital. Other than the fact that you and I are talking into microphones, mm-hmm. once the signal gets into the computers and the stream, it's all digital.
Right, I see. Okay.
Ultimately, everything is analog on both ends, or we wouldn't hear it.
No, I understand that, but as we said earlier, though, that their transmission route is via the digital means of transmission. So they can both send and receive via digital.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how important this is to them. I'll just finish up with this. There was a woman who contacted me by email initially, and she apparently was a person who had been, she's in a family who's under mind control, and they're part of a larger, let's call it Illuminati family group. There's a lot of them, and the woman Savali a few years ago came out and exposed much of this story about these, let's say, supportive Illuminati groups. They understand they're working towards bringing in the New World Order, and the family, the mother, the father, and the children are all subjected to mind control programming. But people, you know, arrive at different levels of awareness, and sometimes some people start to realize, hey, this is nuts what we're doing here, and they start talking and getting, quote, getting out of line as far as, you know, the Illuminati controllers are concerned. And that's what happened to this gal. She started to reveal a great deal of heavy-duty stuff to me. First in an email, and then I asked for a phone number, so we started to talk on the phone. Well, she was quickly discovered by her husband, who's her handler, that she was blabbing to me. And the very day he was arranging to have someone come and pick her up. And they were going to take her somewhere, and they were going to reprogram her so she wouldn't be talking to me again. And she's talking to me on her cell phone, telling me they're coming to get me now. You know, and in the meantime, the husband's saying, hang up the phone, hang up the damn phone, blah, blah, blah. And he's really getting nervous that she's blabbing to me right up to the moment, you know, in which whoever came to get her, and then suddenly the phone went click. But it was an amazing event. She had told me that they had, in the months prior to her talking to me, the cable company spent a great deal of time and money laying all of these underground cables into her home, and that it took them a lot of time, it was a lot of work. So that was telling me that they were running fiber optic cables all the way in, so that she, being, you know, part of this Illuminati family operation, was going to get her, you know, Quadis signals sharp and clear. And they, you know, so they wanted to be sure the cable was fiber optic, was buried, etc., so that, you know, it couldn't be cut, it couldn't be removed, etc. We have to be very worried about this technology now, and for the time being, simply avoid, you know, getting that conversion box, avoid getting the high-end flat-screen TVs, etc. And personally, I don't care if the analog signal goes off. We'll just watch tapes that, you know, are recorded anyway, and from Japanese TV, which is far more entertaining, far more wholesome than American TV is today.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we're out of time.
Yep, I know. I was willing to stay within the hour. But.
Yeah, well, we had to listen to the information Ron brought forth, so yeah. That just got us going again. See, that's what happens when we get callers.
I know.
We get off on some interesting topics. So I've got to say goodnight, both to you. I want to encourage folks to go to your website, educate-yourself.org,
right.
And if they're interested in an orgone device, you're still helping people get those too, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. At the top of every one of my web pages, there's a bunch of links. In the bottom row of those links include the products page, orgone generators, orgone protective pendants, which is something new that I just started to make available in late December. Getting a lot of nice feedback. A wonderful person, very gifted person, is making them for me exclusively, and my God, she's doing a splendid job. So,
well, yeah. Make it a point, Ken. Short of plugging your TV in and tuning into CNN, try to catch this video. You've got to watch it for a couple of minutes, and you'll see the blue sky shot.
Yeah, okay.
It makes absolutely no sense if we were watching a live event.
Okay.
They could be rebroadcasting this, but they were, once it's a tape, you've got to take the live off. Well, they did that on 9/11, didn't they?
They sure did.
You know.
That's exactly what they did, right? A lot of...
And there's some great videos out there that...
show the falsity
that actually analyze this in great detail.
Right.
So I sort of stumbled upon it, but somebody actually started this work well over a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and so that it's coming out now and people are looking at it, and of course the research is coming out is not a coincidence. There is a way to stop all this madness.
Yep.
And we don't have to accept these lies for the truth. That's what they're counting on. That's what they're banking on. And as you well pointed out, they need all the help they can get. So this technology is something really to be concerned about. I suppose if we told folks to watch DVDs and VHS tapes, that they would begin releasing those with the same messages in them.
Yes,
if they're not already.
If they're not already, right. But that's the only that's the way I see doing it for now. I'm particularly no way I'm going to get this digital stuff. I'm just not going to do it, and I won't miss broadcast TV if they don't a few shows that I try to get just to get a little laugh once in a while,
mm-hmm.
or a documentary, because as I mentioned, I like. I particularly like science and history because it's so so educational and fascinating, particularly to learn what people did in earlier periods of time,
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's utterly boring. Situation comedies are flat, boring, extremely stupid. So I can't be, it's like slapstick pie-in-the-face humor. It's just...
Without the pie.
Yeah, it's too imbecilic. I just can't laugh when the humor is that primitive, and it's canned audience laughter, etc. It's just annoying and boring at the same time. I just can't watch it.
I think you were being too upper crust with that, the use of that word imbecilic. Why not just moronic?
Okay.
Well. Ken, thanks for being on the show, and we were out of time 5 minutes ago.
No, thanks.
So I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints. In fact, you're going to be on 2 weeks from now, two nights in a row, Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
And we're gonna tackle a bunch of these issues all in one fell swoop.
Right.
So try to get a look at that video that I'm talking about. And then have your barf bag next to you, just in case.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Doug and Don Newsom, or Don and Doug Newsom, whatever order you prefer, for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, Ron from Pennsylvania for calling in, and you, the listening audience, for tuning in. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light. We'll see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, have a good night.